This may be the home stretch for the 49ers, but they have one final extended road trip. The 49ers will be practicing at the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs for 3 days to acclimate to the high elevation of Mexico City, where they will face the Arizona Cardinals on Monday Night Football. In spite of all their firepower, the team's offense has not exactly been high-flying, unlike our own Jennifer Lee Chan. She'll tell you all about her adventures right here in Colorado. We'll discuss the ever-changing face of offensive play around the NFL and how the 49ers fit into that overall league trend. Also, the voice of the 49ers, Greg Papa, helps us preview this Week 11 matchup against the Cardinals. Will Kyler Murray be back at quarterback for Arizona, or will the 49ers once again face Colt McCoy? All that and more on 49ers Talk, coming at you right now.
Welcome to another edition of 49ers Talk on NBCSportsBayArea.com. Introducing your host, Matt Mayoko.
All right, this is 49ers Talk brought to you by Big O Tires. I'm Matt Mayoko with Jennifer Lee Chan. And the Seahawks have a bye week. 49ers do not have a bye week. In fact, they have kind of a long week, which starts off with the team practicing Thursday, Friday, Saturday in Colorado Springs to get acclimated to the elevation before heading off to Mexico City.
Yeah, I didn't realize, and I'm sure a lot of people didn't either, how high above sea level Mexico City is. It's higher than 7,200 feet above sea level. So there is an acclimation process. They're doing it in Colorado Springs, which is a little bit less, right at about a little bit over, like right around 6,000. So it's still higher in Mexico City, but this is a good kind of graduated process to get to that level.
Yeah. So we're going to try to get to that level too, eventually. Yes. I mean, for sports writers and people who talk about sports, it's a big deal too. You know, you need to be acclimated to the elevation.
I mean, we walked up some stairs today and I was like a little bit like, oh, okay, now I feel it for a little bit.
Yeah. You walked up a few stairs, in fact, and we'll talk about that a little bit later in this podcast, some of Jennifer's adventures and misadventures here in Colorado Springs. But the 49ers play the Arizona Cardinals. And at this point in the week, we don't know whether Kyler Murray will be out there. He sat out the Cardinals week 10 game against the Rams, and the Cardinals with Colt McCoy won that game. And the 49ers, of course, coming off a big victory over the Chargers. It wasn't altogether pretty, but there are no points for style.
No.
At the same time, in, you know, we do this 49ers overreactions piece that's brought to you by Toyota every Tuesday. And I received, you know, hundreds of questions or reactions / overreactions. And I would say a large percentage of them dealt with either the play calling, the offense not clicking, Kyle Shanahan being too conservative, all these things, a few of those ridiculous, they should fire him if they don't win, you know, if they don't score on their first possession of the first, you know, next game, whatever. But
those are definitely overreactions.
Yeah, those would be overreactions. Maybe we can project out like 5 years down the road, maybe if things don't go well. But I think people tend to forget that the 49ers were in the Super Bowl in the 2019 season, and they're in the NFC Championship game last season. And right now they have a spot in the playoffs if they just kind of hold serve. And I would think that the 49ers should be getting better offensively. And one of the things that kind of stood out to me after kind of looking back at that game Sunday night against the Chargers was that, and this is one of those, yeah, but I mean, they rolled up a lot of yards. The running game looked pretty good. It wasn't explosive. The passing game looked pretty good, but it wasn't explosive. But they kind of bogged down, not kind of, they bogged down inside the 10-yard line. So inside the opponent's 10-yard line, they got in there five times, and they scored two touchdowns. So right. You score one more touchdown or two more touchdowns, and I don't think anybody's complaining about the offense whatsoever.
No, I mean, the margin of the differential between the score, the points between the Chargers and the Niners, I think is what has people kind of like, but it didn't really feel like a huge win. But yeah, just those three other times that they got down there where they had to settle for field goals, if one of those even was a touchdown, I think the score would have been so much of a bigger differential that I think there'd be a little bit more relaxation amongst the fan base.
Yeah, and I also think that because when you look at the 49ers roster and you look at, you know, let's just stay with the playmakers. Mm-hmm. You know, when you have George Kittle, when you have Debo Samuel, when you have Brandon Ayuk, when you have Christian McCaffrey joining Elijah Mitchell, when you have Kyle Juszczyk, when you have Jimmy Garoppolo, who frankly is playing as well as he ever has, when you have all those players offensively on your team, you do expect more than 22 points a game, which is exactly where the 49ers are. They're averaging, I think, 360 yards of total offense. That game against the Chargers, boom, 22 points. They had 387 yards of offense, so that was a little bit higher. But I just think that people look at that and go, well, they should be scoring more. They should be putting up more points. And I do not disagree whatsoever.
The expectations are just so much higher with that much star power on that side of the ball. The expectations are that they should be blowing everybody out.
Yeah, and they shouldn't. I mean, blowing everybody out, that's, yeah, whatever. But I just think that, like, you expect more, mm-hmm. right? You expect more from that offense. And I guess the way the defense has been playing, yeah, you would expect the 49ers to be blowing teams out. But I don't know if it's – I think we always kind of lose sight of what's going on around the league. And this does seem to be a trend around the league where big, explosive – offensive teams are kind of not in fashion in this 2022 season.
Yeah, actually the average points per game scored right now is 21.8. So Niners were above that with their 22 points. It's the lowest in 13 seasons. So teams aren't scoring as many points. Also, there's been a kind of gravitation back to the run game. But you look at it, you've got Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, Matt LaFleur in Green Bay. And
well, Mike LaFleur with the Jets.
Yes, Mike LaFleur with the Jets.
Mike McDaniel
in Miami. So you've got similar styles of offense.
Zach Taylor.
Which focus.
Brandon Staley.
You can keep going. But they focus on the run game. And right now.
Arthur Smith with the Falcons.
Right now, the average.
Am I distracting you?
No. The average yards per completion right now is 11 yards, which is the lowest since 1933, which is when they first started playing playoffs. So that's a long time ago. The average pass yards per pass completion is 11.
Okay. So that means like the short passing game is very much in vogue right now. So those are pass completions. Cause in the olden days, mm-hmm. they would throw the ball deep and they'd keep throwing it deep. So if you could be a 40% passer, but have a lot of yards, throwing the ball, and that kind of goes with the 49ers offense, which, you know, they don't drive the ball down the field. Mm-hmm. And one of the questions about Kyle Shanahan was, you know, like how conservative he is as a coach. Well, nobody ever accused him of being conservative when, you know, during the 2016 season when they had Matt Ryan and they totaled, you know, nearly 35 points a game. And the whole premise of their offense was run the ball, play action, hit the ball deep down the field. Mm-hmm. And if you look at it, that's not what Jimmy Garoppolo does.
No.
And that's really kind of not where that offense is right now. Although I think it could be more of a down the field type of offense, but that I think it shows me that Kyle Shanahan's doing what he believes gives the team the best chance of winning football games with their defense, with their style of offense. And I mean, we could cite those stats and we have before. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo, when the 49ers have Jimmy Garoppolo as starting quarterback, they win a heck of a lot more than they lose. So it's kind of hard to, it's hard to criticize that philosophy when it has been so successful.
Right. And then another factor in this whole offensive scheme is that the average yards per carry across the league is 4.5 yards per carry, which is the highest in the history of the NFL.
That surprises me.
So with all of these teams focusing on the run, not only on that side, but now you've got all the defenses used to playing against that. So it's not going to be these big splashy plays down the field. It's you've got this kind of grinded out mentality on both sides of the ball. The defenses are used to playing it now. I mean, different when Kyle Shanahan first became an offensive coordinator, it was, you know, kind of new and like the new toy at Christmas. And now you've got so many teams across the league focusing on the run game that it's not as many yards. Yes, it's a high number of yards per run, but 4.5 versus 11 point yards per completion. I mean, they're just not gaining as much yards on offense as they have in the past.
Yeah, I guess the bigger thing to me would be yards per attempt, because Jimmy Garoppolo is up there in yards per attempt, which means he's completing a high percentage of passes. Mm-hmm. I just wonder if it'll switch at some point, maybe even this season, where, mm-hmm. you know, like we thought the Chargers would sell out to stop the run against the 49ers on Sunday night. And they kind of did. The average per attempt was quite a bit less than what the Chargers had been giving up. But if a team continues to go, okay, we have to just put all of our eggs in that basket of stopping the run, then that's going to leave them vulnerable to the big play over the top. So I just wonder if through the course of this season, that trend will either even out or tip the other way. As I fully expect, the 49ers offense will kind of tip the other way, where I believe they're 18th in the league in scoring and they're 9th in the league in total offense. That's yards gained. I think if the 49ers don't, from this point forward, if they're not in the top 3 or 5 the rest of the way in those two categories, I think there'll be a little bit of a disappointment, because they do have the potential to be a potent offense.
Absolutely. You look at the star players across the board, and not only that, but you have Trent Williams as left tackle. You've got a pretty solid, young but solid group of interior offensive linemen. Mike McGlinchey, who has a ton of experience on the right side. They all across the board should be performing.
They should be getting better too.
Yes. And that's another point that's really important too. You know, Christian McCaffrey is newer to the team. Yes, he has the full playbook open to him, but it's still, there's some acclimation, right? George Kittle missed a couple little bit of time. Deebo Samuel missed a little bit of time. So to have all of those skill players together in practice for more reps, more, I mean, it's all about reps, right? The more time they spend together, the more efficient they should be on offense.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about Deebo Samuel. The 49ers signed him to the big money contract, and he's still having a pretty good season, but not nearly the kind of season that he was having last year, as far as, you know, the air yards per target, yards per catch, all of that. Speaking of yards per catch, last year he was 18.2. This year he's 12.1. The touchdowns are down. I wonder why that is. I wonder if it's...
Is it defenses keying in on him, or him not being able to move the ball?
Yeah, or him, like him mm-hmm. not having the full offseason. You know, he didn't have the offseason with the team. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's probably a little bit of a combination, mm-hmm. you know, where, I mean, he has to be the guy from week one of the regular season that defensive coordinators were going, okay, let's identify where he is mm-hmm. and let's take him out of the game. And because I don't think he's any less of a player or anything like that. Maybe, you know, we talked about they only have one football. You know, George Kittle, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, Christian McCaffrey, Elijah Mitchell, they can't all have great games every game. So now it really is kind of a matter of almost the defenses decide who they're going to really go after. And then it's up to Jimmy Garoppolo to distribute the ball to the other people.
Right. And Jimmy Garoppolo has said that it's a pick your poison kind of thing. So sometimes it's going to be whoever has the hot hand. I mean, Kyle Shanahan has said that whoever has the hot hand, that's where it's going to go. So if a defense has focused in on completely shutting down Deebo Samuel, it's going to be someone else's opportunity to take advantage of the space that they get.
Yeah. So another one of those overreactions brought to you by Toyota. And this is a good one. I kind of expected it because of the fact that Elijah Mitchell did have that good game and mm-hmm. the 49ers, you know, the week before that or the game before that, Christian McCaffrey had the touchdown passing, the touchdown receiving, the touchdown rushing. Is Christian McCaffrey going to turn into a third down back? And that's a big overreaction. But I think what it does show you in how Elijah Mitchell had twice as many yards rushing as McCaffrey in the Sunday night game against the Chargers is that they have so many different options. And, you know, when McCaffrey, you watch that game back and the Chargers were clearly focusing in on McCaffrey. When McCaffrey would leave the backfield, there were often two guys with him. And so I'm not sure how many times McCaffrey and Mitchell were on the field at the same time, but it's pretty clear that what the Chargers' plan was to make sure that McCaffrey did not have an NFC Offensive Player of the Week performance again, like he did 2 weeks earlier against the Rams. But it really is kind of a hot hand mentality that Kyle Shanahan when it comes to running the ball, because that's the one thing, like, they can dictate who touches the ball by handoffs. Mm-hmm. In the passing game, they don't have a certain playlist of these are the plays, the pass plays, where we're going to get the ball to Deebo Samuel. Now, they might on some of those bubble screens or whatnot, the quick hitters, but for the most part, who gets the ball in the passing game is dictated by the defensive coverage.
I think also the good thing about for Kyle Shanahan having Elijah Mitchell and Christian McCaffrey is you look at his history with the 49ers, like you've said several times, there's a new top rusher every season because the beating that those guys get, there's been so many injuries out of the backfield. Elijah Mitchell's been injured. Jeff Wilson Jr. was injured. You look at every guy that's been there. Raheem Mostert was injured when he was with the club. So I think when you spread out the carries like that, you have less likelihood of someone taking all the blows, taking all of the hits, which reduces, hopefully, maybe, injuries to the running backs.
Yeah, and so not only have the 49ers had different leading rushers every season since Kyle Shanahan has been with the team, but it's not out of the realm of possibility that, you know, within two or three that they could have a different leading rusher. You know, it's going to be from this point forward, mm-hmm. it's going to be McCaffrey or Mitchell. Now that Jeff Wilson's with the Dolphins, and now the Dolphins have their own
one-two punch with Raheem Mostert and Jeff Wilson Jr. Yeah,
and so just like the Dolphins could have a leading rusher, could be Wilson 1 week, Mostert the next. Same goes with the 49ers, but I think, and also I think a part of Mitchell's game that hasn't been fully utilized, but might now be, is that area where he can catch the football too. Mm-hmm. And so you have two backs who are pretty similar. They run the ball differently, but what they can bring to the offense is similar. And then you have all the receiving threats. So I think the 49ers offense has underperformed, certainly in the points per game category. But now is the time for that unit to get going. And I do think, even though they scored their average of 22 points, that game against the Chargers was encouraging to the team by kind of showing how they can kind of move forward through the rest of the season.
I mean, yeah, they're definitely good points. I mean, obviously no moral victories, but it was a victory anyways, but there were points where you saw flashes of really good offensive play. I mean, my favorite pass of the game was Jimmy Garoppolo to Ray McCloud on the sidelines. Broken play, and Jimmy Garoppolo is not always known for his off schedule plays, and he had a couple of them. The other one to George Kittle that went for a first down as well. Those are great. Juwan Jennings too. We didn't talk about him.
After the game.
Yes, but we didn't talk about him on this podcast. He's another playmaker who is so physical, fights for those first downs. So I mean, you got a bunch of skilled players on the 49ers offense, and if they're all playing to their maximum, they should put more points on the board.
Definitely. Okay, so we're going to step aside, Jennifer and I. We'll be back a little bit later in the podcast, but after this word from Big O Tires, we're joined by Greg Papa for the Ask Papa segment.
Big O Tires Black Friday sale is here. Get great savings on auto care services and buy three tires, get one free on select in-stock Mesa tires with installation purchase. Visit BigOTires.com for other Black Friday saving offers through December 4th. Big O Tires, the team you trust.
Life is uncertain. It's okay to feel stressed, anxious, worried, or frustrated. CalHope can help. Access CalHope's free and secure mental health resources. Call 833-317-4673 or live chat at calhope.org.
We're back on 49ers Talk, joined by Greg Papa, the voice of the San Francisco 49ers, for the Ask Papa segment. And my first question to ask you, Greg, are you ready for Mexico City?
I will be. I was going to sing Colorado, Rocky Mountain High. So this is a tough trip to pack for, because I'm going to land in Colorado Springs right after my radio show on Friday, getting around 10 o'clock. I'm hearing it's going to be 9 degrees when I land on Friday night. I'm going to watch practice on Saturday, walk through on Sunday, and we're flying to Mexico City after that. It's going to be like 70 degrees in Mexico City. So I'll get to Mexico City, Matt, but first I'm pulling out all my ski gear to get ready for, how cold is it in Colorado Springs?
I think it was like 15 degrees. It was last night, but it's supposed to, I believe in practice for Friday or Thursday, there's supposed to be a little bit of snow. And so I don't know if they're going to have to move that inside to the field house or not. So, well, let's talk about this game coming up against the Cardinals. Do you have a sense of who's going to be out there for quarterback?
For Arizona,
yeah.
Garoppolo is going to start for the 49ers.
Whoa, that's breaking news right there. Breaking news.
I think so. I watched their game back last night against the Rams and Colt McCoy. Here he is again. Remember the game last year, November the 7th at Levi's? Probably the low moment since Kyle and John have been running the 49ers. That was just a trampling. And Colt McCoy was really good in that game. He was really decisive against the Rams. He gets the ball out fast. He's accurate. He is decisive. I think it was 2.17 seconds against Aaron Donald in the Ram front on Sunday. So we'll see about Kyler's hamstring, but I'm getting a sense that they may just ride with the real McCoy. And then they got their bye week coming up in early December, and that would give Kyler a chance to heal from the hamstring. So they're very different stylistically. Obviously, you know where McCoy's going to be. He's going to be in the midline, you know, right behind the center there, 7-9 yards behind, depending on whether he drops 5 or 7 or shotgun. They're in the gun a lot. But I think Kyler's going to run around a lot. So, but I get the feeling that it's going to be Colt McCoy. But the 49ers will obviously prepare for both and more for Kyler. And then the big thing is DeAndre Hopkins and his size and what he means on top of Rondell Moore. They're getting A.J. Green going a little bit. So I'd like to see the 49ers in this one game mirror the corner. I'd like to see Charvarius Ward follow DeAndre Hopkins around. They did that in Atlanta, if you recall, against the rookie receiver Drake London out of USC, who's a big, tall guy, kind of like D-Hop. Mm-hmm. And then Charvarius hurt his groin. He wound up coming out of the game. But for the first quarter and a half while he was healthy, he did that. So Hopkins is the guy. They are targeting him more than any wide receiver in football since he came off the Penn suspension. So I'd like to see the Mooney man kind of go at D-Hop.
I wonder if they did that against the Falcons because they had just lost Emmanuel Mosley for the season and that was the first game without him. Or do you think that that is now part of their repertoire where if they see one wide receiver that's clearly better than the others, that's clearly a more demanding matchup for Lenore, if they would do that, have Charvarius Ward shadow one of those top receivers?
I think both. I think that was coming off Emmanuel Mosley. So Demo, you know, had to go outside in that game. And but I also think stylistically, just the fit, Charvarius is tall and angular, a lot like Drake London. Now with Atlanta, they had the big tight end, Kyle Pitts, who I think you code as a wide receiver anyway. So they could have done that, but they wanted them on Drake London. And then they had a special defense for Pitts. But I think with Hopkins and his size, now A.J. Green is also there and he's big, but he's not the same guy he used to be in Cincinnati. Although he did catch a touchdown against the Rams and he's more involved. I just feel like stylistically, Charvarius is more similar athlete to DeAndre Hopkins and Demo Lenore. Now the other guy, Rondell Moore, is a difficult guy. He lines up in the slot a lot, but they also move D-Hop inside at slot or the number three wide receiver, the most inside when you go to a 3-by formation. So I'm not sure what they're going to do, but I DeAndre Hopkins is the guy you got to have a plan for, because no matter who plays quarterback, whether it's Kyler or Colt, they're going to feed the ball to number 10 with the size 5XL hands that he's got.
Yeah, you mentioned that Colt McCoy got the ball out so quick, 2.13 seconds, quickest of any quarterback in the league in week 10. And that was kind of the thing that the 49ers were prepared for against Justin Herbert. And what we saw in the fourth quarter of that game specifically is that guys like, I mean, you know that Nick Bosa is going to do his thing, but Charles Omenihu and Jordan Willis, those guys, they played really well, didn't they? And they kind of put pressure on Justin Herbert when he's a guy who's difficult to get pressure against. So I imagine that same formula will be, hold true if it is Colt McCoy out there, where it's not just going to have to be Nick Bosa. Other guys are going to have to step up and play well.
Yeah, Charles Omenihu's played well wherever they lined him up, man. But if you go back to the last play of the game, the interception by Talanoa Hufanga, that was Charles getting in there and tipping the ball. And you could start him at end and then move him inside over a guard like they did Arden Key. So Omenihu has played great. But Jordan Willis, I mean, he changed numbers from last year when he had that big block in Green Bay. Now he's number 75. And we saw him in the preseason. And then he got hurt. And he was on IR for a long time. And then I see him on the practice squad or practice field starting to, you know, rev it up. And he played great. He made plays all night in the run game, chased down Justin Herbert. And the one thing about Mexico City, and you know it being Colorado Springs, the altitude of Mexico City is an issue. This is higher than Denver. And they have smog there. It won't be as much of a factor for a night game as a day game, but still, the air quality is not good. So you need all of this pass rushing, Kaserik coming at you. And if it is Kyler and you're going to chase that little guy around in the altitude and the smog, you got to have all these guys up. So I'm going to be anxious to see how many D linemen they have up for this game. You may take them all up, but you're right. Jordan Willis unexpectedly played well. Omenihu's played well just about the whole time he's been here.
Yeah. I just thought of something when you're talking about Kyler Murray. Even if Kyler Murray does play with the altitude, with his, you know, probably lack of conditioning because he's had that hamstring injury, I just wonder how effective he can be. But anyway, I do want to ask you before we go here, a lot of fans have reached out to me about the 49ers offense and why isn't it more explosive and what's going on? Why are they middle of the pack or a little bit lower than middle of the pack when it comes to scoring? Give me what you feel like right now the state of the 49ers offense is and where you expect it to be in the weeks to come.
Well, I mean, we saw him play really well the last game before the bye with the 3 touchdowns in the second half against the Rams. And they came out against the Chargers off the bye and they sputtered. That first drive, they were good, but they failed inside the red zone. I thought Debo could have scored on that second and goal on the Trent Williams pull play. He just didn't get in. He took it down to the 2-yard line and then they got no push. McCaffrey's run on the third and goal from the 2 was just not good. So the red zone issue cropped up right there. Ayuk did drop one later in the game on the goal line on a 3rd and goal from the 8-yard line. And then at the end of the game, they kind of, you know, backed off a little bit trying to run to use up the timeouts. I thought Kyle may go forward on 4th down for the knockout punch there to go up 2 scores. But you wrote about, you know, is Kyle too conservative? I like getting 3s. 2 3s is a 6. It's not a 6 and a 7, but I think too many coaches just give up. They're taking the foot out of football. But I think there's some scenarios there. They got to be better in the red zone. And the one question I would have for you, trading Jeff Wilson Jr. to me is an issue. And I know Eli looked great, Elijah Mitchell, McCaffrey looked great. And McCaffrey scored a lot of touchdowns in the NFL, a lot of them. But Jeff Wilson Jr. to me would be the clear short yardage and goal line back. Where on that 3rd and goal from the 2-yard line, maybe you take McCaffrey out and you bring in Jeff. And that's how you score in the red zone. You run it in the red zone. You can trick it up and, you know, have a leak play and sneak Kittle out. Or if you got DeAndre Hopkins, throw him fade routes. But the way you score in the red zone is you run it right through the heart of them on the goal line. And I just wonder, what are they going to do on short yardage and goal line at the running back position? Will it be McCaffrey? Will it be Elijah Mitchell? Will it be a combination? I think that's why they drafted Ty Davis-Price, man. He was to take that job from Jeff Wilson Jr. and he's not even up on game day. So if you want to score more and go from 20 to 30, you score in the red zone, you run it in the red zone. Who's that short yardage goal line back? Who's it going to be?
I mean, from Sunday night, it's Christian McCaffrey. You know, when they got down there, it was Christian McCaffrey who got stopped on the third and goal early in the game. And it was Christian McCaffrey who got the short yardage touchdown. And it's also, it's also Jimmy Garoppolo.
Absolutely. Not so much from the two. No. I think you'll wait to do that from the one. Yeah. From the two, that's a long quarterback snake from the two.
Yeah. Hey, Greg, thanks so much for another exciting, enlightening episode of Ask Papa.
Colorado.
Pack your thermals.
Looking for a bit of adventure this summer? Look no further than a new fuel-efficient Toyota hybrid. As the industry leader, Toyota offers more hybrid models than any other brand, so you can live life to the fullest while getting incredible MPG. Go farther than ever before this season in the most fuel-efficient way possible, and save big at the pump all summer long in a brand new Toyota hybrid. It all starts at Toyota's national sales event. Toyota, let's go places.
Celebrate 9 great years at Graton Resort and Casino. Play to enter Anniversary Clinko Saturdays in November, up to $1 million in prizes. Plus, more ways to win than anywhere else. Tuesdays, turn points into slot play. Multiplier Wednesdays, get up to 7 times the points. Thursdays, win up to $15,000 in the 9th anniversary slot tournaments. Learn more at GraytonResortCasino.com. Complete rules available at the Rewards Center.
Whenever you need a recharge from the gym, training, a race, or everyday life, Fit 8 Energy has you covered. Now in 4 electric flavors. New Fit 8 Energy's 200 milligrams of clean caffeine from green tea helps fight your fitness fatigue and contains our original post-workout recovery blend. Visit FitAidEnergy.com to save up to 30%. November is Headstrong Month. This initiative is sponsored by CalHope with NBC Sports Bay Area. The CalHope Together for Wellness website has easy-to-navigate wellness tools, including ones that educate and provide stress management and coping skills. For that information and much more, visit calhope.org today. Spencer Burford and Drake Jackson joined the 49ers You Got Mail podcast presented by Manscaped to debate Disney movie favorites, share highlights from their rookie season, and answer more fan-submitted questions. So check out the 49ers You've Got Mail podcast anywhere you get your podcast. And we're back on 49ers Talk. Matt Maiocco, Jennifer Lee Chan. And Jennifer, I know that you're a woman of many talents. I did not know that jumping out of a plane was one of your talents. But when you're at the Air Force Academy on the campus there, When in Rome,
that's what you do. Yeah. I didn't know I was able to do that either. And it's something that I've always wanted to do. But when the opportunity came up to do it here at the Air Force Academy, I mean, it seems like it would be the safest situation to do it with. And it was amazing. Yeah. Fantastic.
So it's cold on the ground. I'm on the ground waiting for you. It had to be very chilly when you jumped out of the plane.
Very cold. So cold that my fingertips were numb. But the first part of it was the coldest part, the free fall. So right after you jump out of the plane, and I did it tandem. So there was a very experienced jumper with me. He said he had done 1500 jumps out of an airplane.
And you're only $14.99 behind him.
Yes, that is correct. So free falling, that was the craziest feeling, just jumping out of a perfectly good airplane. And once you kind of adjust to the speed of you plummeting towards the earth, it kind of evens out, levels out a little bit. You get into your kind of open position where your arms are out, your legs are out, and then they pull the chute, and then it's incredibly peaceful, very peaceful. We circled around. You could see where the 49ers are going to practice. You could see all the mountains around the Air Force Academy's stadium. I mean, it was beautiful. And then he said, okay, so we're going to land at a little tiny green spot right down there near where the airfield was. And I was like, that seems really far away, but we did.
Yeah. Well, we've seen the last few weeks, it seems like we've seen like parachuters coming into games, and I'm like, wow, that looks like it's threading a needle just coming into the stadium. So now I'm sure you have a whole new appreciation for that.
I do. He also showed me video of the jumpers. It was Army that jumped into Levi's Stadium at week 10 for that Niners Chargers game. he showed me a picture, shared a picture with me of the GoPro picture, how far away the stadium looks when they jump out of the plane. And the fact that they can time it to the end of the national anthem literally blows my mind. So very cool. It is Salute to Service Month. So thank you to the Air Force here at Colorado Springs, not only for that, but of course, letting the 49ers practice at their facility.
Yeah. Without that, you wouldn't have been
here.
You wouldn't be
out of a perfectly good plane.
Scratching that one off your off your bucket list.
That's correct.
Okay. So before we pull the ripcord on this episode of 49ers Talk, you heard what Greg Papa said. And that was kind of one of the things, like 49ers have made some trades that went completely under the radar. Of course, obviously the Christian McCaffrey trade did not go under the radar.
No.
But the trade for Charles Omenihu last year and the trade for Jordan Willis a couple of years ago, those have really paid some dividends for this team.
Especially when you look at, they are without Arik Armstead. They're without Javon Kinlaw. Last week, they were without Samson Ebukam. That really thins out the defensive line, which we've spoken about repeatedly, how it's one of their deepest position groups on the team, and it's really not right now. So much so that Nick Bosa in that last game played all but two snaps. He played 56 snaps. I don't think he's ever played that much.
So that's 97%.
For number 97.
How about that? Very good.
Going down the list.
Well, first off, okay. Like if you're a defensive lineman playing more than 65% of the snaps, that's a heavy, heavy workload.
It is.
And I remember seeing that, you know, the replay of that sack he had against Herbert, like that was a hustle sack. And so his motor is something incredible. And for him to play that much, and they can't do that every game. And maybe they'll get Ebukam back. We'll see how who returns to practice this week. But I mean, that's an incredible workload for Nick Bosa.
Well, they're lucky they were only on the field for 58 total. The Chargers defense was on the field for 70 total snaps, which is a lot. All right. So going down the list, Charles Omenihu, one of the guys you just talked about, was on the field for 45 snaps.
Okay, so that tells me right there that they have, like, Omenihu is the guy that they have the second most confidence in. They're putting him out there with Arik Armstead, because Armstead, when he's healthy, he's a workhorse too. He plays a lot.
He is. Next guy is Kevin Givens. I think one of the kind of under the radar guys.
I would say Kevin Givens might be the most, is he the most underrated guy on the same? I mean, he hasn't put up big numbers, but he's a really solid player who doesn't get a whole lot of attention.
He doesn't get any attention. He's a solid guy who is a workhorse, who is out there for a good amount of snaps every game. Not splashy, but I think he's good at his job. He doesn't allow mistakes, doesn't miss tackles, and just, you know, a good guy out there for them. Kerry Hyder, veteran, plays really well, 26 snaps. Jordan Willis.
And that one's. Unique, or that was unexpected, because he was just returning. Jordan Willis from IR.
23 snaps. So almost half, I mean, close to higher than, you know, about 35-40%. Jordan Willis. Yeah. His first game back after being pulled up off of IR. I mean, that's pretty remarkable. Hassan Ridgeway was next. He was 22 snaps. Drake Jackson, 19 snaps.
I would have thought Drake Jackson would have more snaps than that, especially with the defensive line and the guys out. I would have thought that he would have played more in that game.
T.Y. McGill, least amount of snaps with 8.
And he was up from the practice squad. So the 49ers could be getting some more guys back. It sounds like the injury situation is better than it's been in a while. Danny Gray, the wide receiver, who really hasn't found his way yet. And this is a work in progress for him. He actually rolled his ankle before the game on Sunday night. I wouldn't expect him to play against the Cardinals on Monday Night Football, but, you know, maybe Ebukam's back, maybe Armstead's back, and then Javon Kinlaw is still out there. I think all those guys will be back at some point, but those are the only guys that are on the horizon for coming back, and they're all defensive linemen.
Yeah, it could be good for them going down the home stretch to get those guys back. But yeah, I saw Danny Gray walking out of the locker room. He didn't have a walking boot on, but his left ankle was taped heavily. And oddly, he had his shoe halfway on, So he was kind of waddling out of the locker room and I said, are you okay? He's like, I'm good. I'm like, better than being in a walking boot? He's like, absolutely. And then walked out of the locker room.
Okay. So the 49ers week 11, they play the Cardinals. Cardinals are 4-6. 49ers are 5-4. If the 49ers win that game, they will pull into a tie with Seattle atop the NFC West because Seattle's on the bye week, but they would have the number one seed out of that division because of the head-to-head victory over the Seahawks. And then the Rams, I think their season is over. Cooper Kupp went on IR on Wednesday, so he's going to be missing at least four games. And I would think that depending on how the Rams go from here on out, they might just shut him down. But they're 3-6, and it fell apart in a hurry for them.
Well, on his high ankle sprain, he's actually having surgery on it. So I would think he's going to be out longer than 4 weeks. 4 weeks is the minimum they are out if they are placed on IR. I think he's looking at least at seven weeks.
It might be four games, right?
I think right.
four games. So they've already had their bye week, though. Yeah. Okay, so yeah. I thought I was onto something, but I wasn't. all right. Well, Jennifer jumped out of a plane. I've barely left my hotel room, but we'll be in Colorado Springs for a couple of days with the team. Oh, yeah, something to add.
I do. Vivid Seats just told me that 49ers fans are going to represent 82% of the crowd in Mexico City. Wow. That is substantial.
That's a road game.
That is a road game, but it's a home game.
I'm doing air quotes. Yes. That's an air quotes road game. The Cardinals gave up a home game, which there would have been a lot of 49er fans there too, but the Cardinals gave up a home game to play in Mexico City. And now the 49ers, I'm not sure it's going to be a home field advantage because it's not their home field, but it certainly won't be a disadvantage playing there.
Absolutely not. They are going to have the power of the crowd behind them. So Kyler Murray or whoever is under center for the Cardinals is likely going to have to be on a silent count. I'm so impressed by all of the crowds at all of these international games. That was Germany's first game, NFL game in that country. And the crowd was lively and they were loud and excited. And that was the one where I was like, I don't know if they're a big soccer country. Mm-hmm. I didn't think they were going to be as excited to have the NFL there, but they were. So, I mean, these international crowds have been very excited, even if they aren't fans of the two teams that are playing, they're fans of the sport.
Yeah. And I mean, we've known fans from Mexico for quite a while, for many years, fans of some very diehard fans. We see them at Levi Stadium. We see that on our road trips, including the parking lot in Lambeau Field last year. So it should be a festive atmosphere, and the 49ers looking to make it a festive night by facing the Cardinals and potentially they have that possibility of getting into the lead in the NFC West. And Jennifer, yours truly, Carlos, after the game, we'll wrap it all up on 49ers Talk, and that'll be dropping in the wee hours after that Monday night game. So enjoy it. And if you are going to the game in Mexico City,
definitely say hola to us.
Thanks for listening to 49ers Talk with Matt Maiocco. Please rate, review, and subscribe for free on your podcast provider.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used, because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.